Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
It is the first, like, official episode of the new era, like the new branding.
Technically, yeah, this isn't a special episode. I mean, it's special in all of our hearts, but this isn't exactly a particular special as far as
us. It's the usual stuff, the stuff that you've come to know and love. We will take a wrestler and cover their career through five of their most important matches. This week, Johnny Curtis, Fandango, Dirty Dango.
My goat.
That's a fair goat.
I love
this
man.
It's a tough argument to make, but I appreciate you making
it. You know, it's tough on all fronts because I can't even call him the most entertaining wrestler of ever because R-Truth exists. But, you know, I just think that there's never been more of a himbo wrestler than Johnny Curtis / Fandango. And because of that, my goat.
He might be the goat himbo wrestler of all time. That's actually a really fair assessment.
I mean, who else is it? Hey, think about it. Even Breezy. Breezy's kind of dumb, but he's got a brain.
That's true. Breezy's got a little bit going on up in that noggin, especially in NXT. They got rid of it a little bit when he went to the main roster, but that's fine. That's for the Tyler Breeze episode.
You know why he went away?
Why?
Because of Fandango.
So we're going to talk about Curtis Hussey. That is the real name of Johnny Curtis, a.k.a. Fandango. Of course, if you're not watching this on YouTube, that's fine, but you should go and check out YouTube. Hit subscribe. If you are talking or watching on YouTube, hey, hit that like button. That's wonderful. We are on the road to 200 subscribers. We want to get there before WrestleMania, so go and join
us. Which we're going to get to.
We're going to be at WrestleMania. Lots of stuff coming from WrestleMania.
We have an event locked in, Evan, and it's the one we wanted.
It is the one we wanted, so that's very exciting. All right, before we talk about the backstory and the history, what did you know about Fandango going into this?
He's from, like, Maine, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from Maine. He's, like, the only wrestler I know who's from Maine.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the only things I knew about him, other than, you know, like, his career. He's from Maine. He was on NXT. Was in the main roster. He was the dancer guy. And then he became the fashion police guy, and then he had another stint in NXT, and then he fucked off to TNA.
Yeah, and now he's a TNA guy, which is cool. Yeah. I think it's a good place for him, is TNA.
Listen, a lot of good TNA people out there in history. You know, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Dirty Dango.
TNA doing really well right now. Proud of them. Like, it feels good.
Yeah. They're on the up again.
TNA's the Detroit Lions of wrestling companies, where when they're doing well, everyone's like, that's good. We're happy for them.
You know, we're just so happy for you guys to be here. I feel like there are a few franchises like that. It's like the Lions, it's the Bills up until like the last 2-3 years, I feel like. Yeah. We were all like,
because now they got
a long playoff drought.
They got too good for a while, and we're like, all right.
Yeah. There's the Vikings. We always like to see the Vikings doing good because they're bad usually. And then it's like, if the Chargers are ever good, you know.
God bless Chargers fans. They suffer. Same with Browns fans. All right. So many football references.
Yeah.
When do you think that that Curtis Hussey started wrestling?
When do I think? Well, he is older than probably a lot of people think. Like, if I had to guess, he's probably already in his 40s. Am I right?
He is 40 years old.
He's 40 years old. So I would guess he started wrestling in 1999.
You are 100% correct. He trained under Killer Kowalski in 1999 and debuted in September of that year. Wrestled for various promotions through the New England area. Wrestled for NWA TNA for a little bit, Chaotic Wrestling, NWA Wildside. And then in 2006, signed a developmental contract with WWE. He was in WWE for 15 years.
That is time, dude.
Good for him, though. He was 23 and he signed with the E. That's so impressive.
I would never have guessed that, to be honest.
No, me neither.
Like, I would have been like, he was on NXT in like 2011. So I'm going to guess 2010 he signed.
Yeah. No, 2006. A couple of notes from being in developmental, because we went to Deep South first, and then I believe went to OVW when, like, that was the relationship, or FCW. Went Deep South and then FCW. When he was in FCW, he actually won the FCW Florida Tag Team Championships with Tyler Rex, which is very cool.
Oh, shout out.
I didn't know they were a tag team.
A great finisher.
Yes, retained the championship on several occasions, lost them in a feud with Kalen Croft and Trent Beretta.
Kalen Croft, I always forget who that is, but he's always mentioned, because that's the Dude Busters, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I always forget who that ended up becoming, but...
The reason they lost the titles, Johnny Curtis didn't show up and forced Rex to wrestle alone.
Okay, like...
Dirty Dango.
Kayfabe? Or
kayfabe, like, yeah.
it wasn't the loop, or
it just was like, I'm just not coming. So I didn't realize that Dango was on NXT, the game show version, because I didn't watch NXT, the game show version ever.
Oh, you didn't watch Redemption?
No, I didn't watch any of the NXT game shows. I just knew they happened. Damn. He fucking wins.
Yeah, Redemption was just like Love Island, to be fair.
I don't care. He won? That's unbelievable.
Now, because his thing was... All right, so Johnny Curtis's character was basically Fandango, like the later, you know, like Fashion Police version, where he's like really kind of weird, but like a heel, obviously not Fashion Police, just that weirdness vibe. Like, he was just weird and then like a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, that was his whole gimmick.
That's fair. He wins in the end over Brodus Clay and Derek Bateman, aka EC3.
Brodus Clay.
A group that also includes Connor from The Ascension and Byron Saxton.
Yep.
This is a fever dream of an NXT roster. That's unreal.
That is great. And then they had like the reality TV show type thing with NXT Redemption, where it was like him and Caitlin and Maxine and Oksana was there, and it's like all these random people, and you're like, what is going on here? Like, there's Fandango, there's EC3, there's Katrina from Lucha Underground, Caitlin, what are we doing here?
That actually leads perfectly to our first match. It's Johnny Curtis teaming with Maxine against Derek Bateman, EC3, and Caitlin. One of these people is NWA World Champion at time of recording.
Yeah.
Huh. Wouldn't
and has a weird that. Goatee thing.
Does have a weird goatee thing going on.
It's not a goatee. What is that? Where it's like...
Soul patch.
No, but it's like, you know what I mean? Where it's like a line and it's got like the mustache and he's got the flavor saver still. He's got like a very like Three Musketeer type build going over there.
Yeah, he's D'Artagnan. This is NXT Season 5, Episode 54, for those of you playing along at home. Curtis is trying to woo Maxine. After a weird time on the main roster, do you know what Johnny Curtis's like initial main roster run was like?
No.
It was weird. So he wins the first, like he wins the fourth season of NXT. He comes to the main roster June 3rd, 2011.
Okay. I'm assuming SmackDown.
SmackDown is told that his promised tag team title shot was not going to happen because R-Truth turned heel. And R-Truth was his mentor. He then began to sarcastically cry and proceeded to pour milk onto a plate and then over his head in reference to the saying, don't cry over spilled milk. And then made a bunch of backstage promos about like puns and playing on words. And then got squashed by Mark Henry in less than a minute.
Honestly, I really like it. Like, I can't even lie. Like, you're telling me this right now, and I'm like, I kind of want to watch this. Like, no shot is this a main event level wrestler, but also, I mean, we'll get to it at the end of the podcast when we break down his entire career and our thoughts on it. Like, this guy was never going to be a main eventer.
To me, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, he wins NXT, and then they're like, we have nothing to do for you. We have absolutely no idea what to do with
you. Well, one, Vince, who's the boss at the time, obviously, just did not give a crap about anything developmental unless it was like his guy.
That's fair.
You know? So he's not really thinking about NXT or NXT Redemption or any of this crap. He's just like, oh, the ratings? All right, good. Let's get him on SmackDown. Well, we just turned R-Truth heel.
Here's some milk.
Here's some milk, pal.
Anyways, what did you think of the match?
Oh, this was the drizzling shits. But you know what? They tried. Caitlin,
you picked this match.
Well, I had to put an NXT match in there. Johnny Curtis is very important to Fandango's career.
I will say Johnny Curtis also only won 3 matches on his season. He was 3-7 and won NXT.
Well, match. It's a vote, man. Yeah. And everyone liked Johnny Curtis because he's freaking funny as hell. Derek Bateman's coach was Brian Danielson, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Funny. It's an intergender match. It's like you mentioned, it's Johnny Curtis and Maxine versus Derek Bateman and Caitlin. The whole backstory here is that Bateman and Maxine were a thing, and then they were like having like a wedding. And then Johnny Curtis breaks up the wedding and takes Maxine. And now he's basically Maxine's kind of conflicted because she is a little bit loca, I guess. And Derek Bateman has Caitlin in as backup here, but they are just friends, and it's very known. They had to make it known, even on commentary, that they are just friends.
Just friends.
Anyways, Caitlin does drop toe holds galore to Maxine, Maxine slaps the hell out of Derek Bateman.
Yep.
Bateman gets in. He misses a flying knee to the corner, injures his knee. So Johnny
Curtis I thought he was about to do the Brock Lesnar like tumble to the outside. When I saw him flying in, I was like, he is about to go head over heels. He didn't. He just hurt his knee. Curtis working the knee and the leg of Bateman, and then does like a little hip swivel as he looks at
Caitlin.
He's like
creepily staring at Caitlin. He's like,
yeah. Johnny Curtis is not the vibe.
Then we get to the finish. Bateman hits an enziguri, and then the first version of the Dirty Deeds, where it's like a headlock straight down.
But also, Caitlin punches Curtis when this happens, too.
Sure, man.
Yeah, it's the enziguri. Caitlin punches him. That's why he turns back around, and he gets hit with the first version of the Dirty Deeds. He pins Curtis. And then, did you keep watching?
Yes, I did. Derek Bateman gets on the mic, says it's officially over with Maxine because she's crazy. And he's done playing games. Then he says he basically pokes Caitlin, says you're it, and then he kisses her.
It's the most like frat bro interaction I think I've ever seen on WWE television, because he's just like, nah man, my ex is crazy, but like, hey girl, you're it. Hello.
You're it. I mean, to be fair, if I'm thinking of anybody who would be the most frat boy, it's EC3.
It's EC3. You're right. Wait till my aunt hears about this. All right. Let's flash forward a little bit. Johnny Curtis stays in developmental, stays in NXT a little bit. But then, October 23rd, 2012, SmackDown taping, he debuted his new ballroom dancer character named Fandango in a dark match.
Fandango.
Vignettes for the character started airing in November, and after months of promotional videos, he debuted on the March 1st, 2013 episode of SmackDown. And part of the thing was that he refused to have his first match because the announcers or opponents would pronounce Fandango wrong.
Fandango.
If you were to see it just written out, how would you spell it? How would you say it?
Fandango.
I also would say Fandango.
Well, that's also the name of the company, like the movie, like ticketing company.
The ticket Fandango. Company. Yeah. I just also want to throw this out there. I listen to the Ringer Fantasy Football podcast a lot. And shout out to those guys.
What is it? I forget what are their first names? They all have the first name.
It's same. DK, Danny, and Craig.
No, they're all Dannys. That's what it
There's
is.
There's two Dannys and a Craig. Yeah. And this week, Danny Kelly, I guess, Danny Heifetz had never said the word maestro out loud before.
Maestro? Did he say maestro?
Maestro. Ben Johnson of the Lions an offensive maestro, and the pod immediately shut down.
That is, I mean, that's how it is in Spanish.
Oh, but Monsieur Danny is not Spanish.
Yeah, but
maestro.
You do be an offensive maestro, though, to be fair.
An offensive maestro. So who is Fandango going to have for his first match? Well, on the March 18th episode of Raw, Chris Jericho mispronounced Fandango's name intentionally, repeatedly, to start a feud leading to a singles match at WrestleMania 29.
Someone play Judas.
This is right before I started watching again, and the Fandango gimmick is elite. It's so campy.
I had stopped watching
wonderful.
By this point.
This is where we no longer over, like neither this of us is, were in it.
Yeah, this is during my hiatus period.
Have you gone back and watched the WrestleManias you missed?
I mean, I only missed like two.
I missed like, I think six.
I missed this one, and I missed 14, the Bryan one.
I missed 25 through 29. And I went back and I rewatched all the Rumbles and all the WrestleManias. Because I was like,
you didn't miss a whole lot.
I missed a lot of Sheamus.
You missed a lot of Sheamus. Yeah. You missed the entirety of Sheamus' main event run, pretty much.
Yeah, there was a lot of Del Rio in that, too. It was a lot.
Oh, wow. You missed the two Shawn Taker matches.
I know. And so I watched those. I was like, this is unbelievable. Yeah. Dango is here. Not with Summer Rae. At first, he had Andrea Lynn, a real-life dancer and at the time college student, not a WWE prospect.
I love it.
Yeah, she just would show up and dance. Because if you notice, during his match, she doesn't do anything. Like, she's not a dancer, bro. Just a dancer.
You need a dancer.
Are you ready for my hot take? Not that hot, actually. Just an assessment. This is the Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream, Say My Name feud, but with dancing. Am I wrong? I don't think I'm that wrong. I think I'm
like,
I think I'm kind of close.
Like, in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I think this is just like the first version of the current Chris Jericho thing of, oh, this person is hot right now. Put me against them.
That is true. This is Jericho is all about like trending audio. He's just like hopping in at the ground floor. He's ready. He's trying to go viral.
It's not that Dango was super over, but his entrance music was, as we all remember, the Fandangoing.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. What do you think of the match?
It's all right. It just kind of feels like a TV match. Honestly, it just feels like a freaking throwaway like TV match. Not even a TV main event match. Like
Dango starts dancing and Jericho spears him. Dango tries to get a breather on the outside and Jericho just chases him around. Jericho hits a codebreaker really early. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Dango goes out of the ring.
Yeah. So Dunn's corner hits a codebreaker. Fandango goes to the outside. Baseball slab by Jericho and then a crossbody off the top. And I have a very important question for you.
No, we're not putting Chris Jericho as our crossbody.
Oh, my brother. Chris Jericho is our crossbody. This is the exact photo where the logo comes from. I had never seen this match. I didn't put it together. If you look at the logo and you pause, the Jericho crossbody.
All right, now here's the thing. Here's the thing, right?
It is the reference photo for the logo.
Here's the thing. I feel like if you pause a lot of things at a certain frame, like I could probably pause one moment of Mission Impossible and it'll freaking look like that.
As the person who wrote or who made the logo.
Let me live in denial, Evan.
No, I'm telling you, I didn't know. I looked up crossbody photos for reference and this Chris Jericho Fandango crossbody is the logo. It's the Jerry West of our podcast.
You can just find like the Angelico dive off the big stage to like. You had to use Chris Jericho.
I had
if
to
you
use
want,
Chris Jericho.
I could
Jericho.
Boot up GTA right now, take a screen cap of my character like skydiving, you know?
Nah.
Like.
Nah. It's Chris Jericho from WrestleMania 29. I popped when I saw it. I was like, oh my God. Because I just had like a flashback to making the logo, and I was like, this is the logo.
And I just want the listeners to know, like, I am a fan of Chris Jericho. I've appreciated the man's career. My issue with Chris Jericho is more so the fact that it's like I said, anytime anybody gets hot in AEW, Chris Jericho immediately wants a cut.
He does want his cut. All right, back to the actual action. Jericho tosses Dango to the outside, goes for a springboard over the ropes. Dango catches him off with cuts him off with an enziguri, which is pretty good. Dango then's big move is to do a headlock.
I love it.
For a bit.
I love it. No,
is Jericho bleeding from the forehead?
I think he's just red.
That's just what color he is.
Yeah, no, I think honestly, he might have just eaten with a stiff shot, and
yeah,
it doesn't look like he was bleeding,
like Marv from Home Alone with the iron in the face.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think he's just sweating a lot, and like there might have been honestly in the headlock spot. Maybe his arm was just there for so long that
when you fall asleep on your hand, and you wake up and you have a handprint on your face.
Yeah, it did not look like blood. Listen, one thing that will be consistent throughout every single one of these matches, aside from the first one, is that Johnny Curtis, or whatever his shoot name is the perfect person for this role. The way that he is just posing and like staring and just like peacocking his whole way through, it is incredible. It is sending me every single time.
He's doing well. Then Jericho gets some shoulder blocks in. Jericho was in control of this whole match pretty much. Yeah. Like, axe handle off the top, Thez press, big chop. Jericho goes with another crossbody, not our logo, 4-2. Dango then tosses him into the ring post shoulder first.
STO
he hits. Hits the big leg drop from the top, which is a big finish for a two count.
Near fall, and I was shocked because I know the result of this match, and that's thought true. That was it.
Jericho's going for the walls. Dango dodges, hits a clothesline. Dango on the top rope gets tumbled because Jericho pulls on the rope. We get a chop to the chest by Jericho, puts Dango on the top rope. Then we get to the finish. Talk about the finish. It's interesting.
Dango headbutts Jericho off, like you mentioned, misses the flying leg drop because Jericho moved out of the way. Jericho goes for the lion salt. Dango gets his knees up. Jericho sells a little bit, I guess, but he immediately grabs the legs, just tries to put on the walls. In the middle of trying to put it on, Dango just puts on a small package. 1-2-3. Fandango beats Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. And honestly, I'm kind of upset about it. Like, not the result. I think the result is correct. Like, it's a huge moment for him.
Is it the way it makes Dango look?
Yeah, they made him like a bitch.
They really did.
It should have just ended after he hit the STO into the flying leg drop. Or worst case scenario, just have him hit another flying leg drop.
Yeah.
You know? Like, why does he have to win on a small package? I hate that. It's such a weak way of giving a guy the biggest win of his career in the biggest stage possible.
With that, Dango has as many WrestleMania singles wins as CM Punk does to this day.
And they both have the same amount of main events.
That's true. Zero. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're talking about Fandangoing and the Fashion Police. Back from the break, despite Fandango being a heel and, you know, being a dick in general, and that's the whole gimmick, the fans, they loved the music because the music was unbelievable. Specifically on the Raw after WrestleMania, people were losing their minds. The song became an overnight hit as many fans took to iTunes to buy the single, causing it to gain momentum and move from 175 to 11 in one day on the UK chart.
Oh, that's great.
And settled in at 44 by week's end. Fandango continued to be a heel, despite the reaction from fans.
I can confirm how popular this was as someone who was watching Premier League soccer games at this time. There were Fandangoing chants at every game that I saw.
Fandangoing turned into yes chants. That's kind of like the life cycle of wrestling chants getting over.
You know how the hooligans are. They like their chants in games. And so it was a big deal. I learned what Fandangoing was from watching my favorite team, Manchester City. I wasn't watching wrestling back in 2013 at that time. Like, that was my lull period. So
yeah,
I learned about Fandango without watching.
That's fair. Fandango would have a couple of championship shots at different titles. The Intercontinental title, he had a few couple random.
Do you know the story?
Feuds. No, tell me the story.
So he was supposed to win the Intercontinental Championship at one point during that whole period after Fandangoing popped off, but he got a concussion.
Oh, okay.
And
yes.
And he was, apparently it was serious enough that he had to be taken out of off of TV for a month or two.
And then Curtis Axel won.
Because of that, he never got to it.
Yeah. And Curtis Axel, when he was in the Money in the Bank World Heavyweight Championship ladder match that was won by Sandow, he was in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania 30 and was the first guy out. Or not the first guy out. He's out the first in like one of the Andre the Giant Battle Royals. He would have Summer Rae. He would lose Summer Rae. He would go out. He'd come back as with Rosa Mendez and like more of a salsa gimmick. He'd lose that. He'd come back. They didn't really have a lot to do. Oh, WrestleMania 32, he was the first guy eliminated. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Then there's this weird thing. So April 14th, 2016, is an episode of SmackDown. Fandango was teaming with Goldust in a number one tag team championship contender tournament. He was replacing R-Truth. And they were defeated by the Vaudevillains in the first round. And then there was a match of Fandango and Goldust versus Tyler Breeze and R-Truth. And Breeze and Dango both didn't want to fight and teamed up instead and made R-Truth and Goldust become it. It was a really weird situation.
You want it? You got it. The Golden Truth. What's up? What's up? What's
Golden
up?
Golden Truth was actually pretty cool.
But that's a crazy thing that to think about is that Breezango exists because they turned on the Golden Truth.
Yeah, because that was their starting point. And speaking of starting point, Javier picked the matches this week, and part of picking the matches is obviously picking the promo. And Javier writes in our thing, he says, "Fashion Files compilation full. Watch as many as you like, but I'm watching them all because these are great and only a minute or two." Now, I didn't watch all of them. I watched all of them up to our next match. But let's talk about the Fashion Files and how fucking funny these were.
Oh, my God. So I only took notes up until that point because you're boring. but I did watch the whole way through. These are incredible. And honestly, low-key, just kind of get better. Like, that's the funniest part about this.
They do get kind of better. So the beginning...
And then they I can't even say they tail off. They just stop doing them.
They just kind of stop doing them. So in the beginning, Breeze loses Dango in the very first one. He calls Renee an idiot, and she says he's to come on Talking Smack, and he just goes, "I've never heard of it." And then it needs to investigate, so he puts up police tape, and that's where the whole police angle comes from.
Yeah. In the second one, right at the beginning, it's good. First off, the second one's titled "Give Me Back My Dango."
Back My Dango.
So it starts off with Breeze in a police outfit, and there's caution tape all over the place, all over the walls, stringed in all different directions and angles. Yeah. And at one point, he delivers the most iconic, like, freaking Meryl Streep wishes that she could pull out a performance as good as when Breeze just goes, "Give me back my Dango."
Dango just rolls up.
He just pulls up with an apple.
He's eating an apple. Says, Breeze says, "Why didn't you text me?" And he says, "I hit you up on AOL Messenger."
My man hit him up on AIM, bruh.
Dango talks about Breeze passing the police academy and how now he gets brainwaves and tells Breeze to come with him because they're going to become the fashion police. I love the next one. Dango is talking about people not washing their gear, using lotions.
Breeze asks him, Dodgers.
What's he going to do about it? And Dango reveals himself from behind a curtain with the police outfit. And he goes, "This is as real as the streets, my friend. We're taking care of business. It's time to crack some skulls."
And the best one is the next one.
Who's the skull they crack? Who do they go to?
So the next one, they're pulling up as they're both dressed as cops at this point. They're having a little pregame huddle. They're having a little pep talk with each other. Dango goes, "I'm the cool cop. I'm going to be the cool cop." And they pull up to some random guy. His name is Bill.
Are you fucked right now? They pull up to cruiserweight champion and legend Billy Kidman. You get
That's Billy Kidman?
The disrespect I'm seeing you calling just some random guy named Bill.
I wasn't paying attention.
That's Billy Kidman.
Oh shit, my bad.
Man, Corey Wilson, you show him some fucking respect.
That's true. Anyways, Dango is the only person that tops the iconic delivery that, that Tyler Breeze has earlier with this, just goes, we're just trying to find out why everyone here is dressed in atrocious attire. Billy, you think you can dress like a scumbag? You scumbag! You scumbag!
It's really good stuff. They want to know why everyone's wearing atrocious attire. Calls Billy a scumbag. And then when Breeze is like, I thought you were a good cop, Tango just goes, I got mixed up on the walk in here and I had a cappuccino this morning.
God, I'm caffeine. I'm hopped up on caffeine. Then they go back and he yells at him again.
So good. There's a couple of good ones in the middle here.
Where the villain one, where they pull up at. So the vaudevillains are just cutting a regular promo backstage or whatever. Let me just hear the Breeze and Tango going, wee woo, wee woo, wee woo. And then they're like doing their whole thing with the ticketing and all this other stuff. And the vaudevillains are like, what's your badge number? We're gonna call this in. What's your badge number? And the fashion police just dip. They just dip. They want no part of this. They dip the scene.
They don't want any part of it. Though I did appreciate that they were in kilts because they were over in the UK.
My personal favorite, or one of my personal favorites, is after. So Alpha Academy are the champions. Yes. And
American Alpha.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Wow. American Alpha. I prefer the Alpha Academy. Are the champions. And look at this face. And they put the Breezango are just, so they're just there talking, hanging out with each other. And then Breezango come, like the camera pans out a little bit and you just see them were just like Dango standing on top of a freaking equipment box. Breeze is just up against a wall and they're like running him down and they go, where'd you get those shirts? The stupid shirt store.
They're also dressed like fucking boat captains. And when I think it's Chad Gable asks them what they're doing, Dango goes, we're on Tom Cruise stuff. You wouldn't get it. The Fashion Police would actually become the number one contenders for the tag titles.
Yes.
There's a clip of them on May 2nd, 2017, charging the Usos with many crimes because they have like an intro. The Fashion Files is like a riff on Law and Order. They get in a police station. Deputy Dango brings in the file on the Uggos. And they start listing off crimes, and there are two that I think are the best.
They stole the titles from Alpha Academy. Grand larceny.
They're twins. Identity theft.
They just walk around here. Jaywalking and Jimmy walking.
So funny. Yeah, this is where they walk around like they own the place. And then they're talking about how the bust is going to go down in Chicago. The Windy Apple.
And then they started mentioning they have to go bust someone who is dressed in flip flops and socks.
Yeah,
which got me thinking. Evan, what are your thoughts on socks and slides?
It's fine. It's fine. Unless you're like
flip flops should be illegal.
Yeah, slides. If you're
rocking you with flip flops, it's illegal. Slides and like Crocs or whatever, like you're good. Wear socks,
especially if it's just like a small, like you're just going to do a thing, you run an errand, whatever. Like, don't make that like your going outfit. Maybe. Nah,
so here's my thing, like Crocs, especially. I have to wear socks with them because they like start rubbing on like the top part of my foot,
and it gets not really shoe material.
Like, especially when I go to the beach and stuff, like, I have to wear socks. I don't care about the sand getting on my socks because I just have to put up with that because it's better than the rubbing on my feet that hurts.
I have a random thing that the Windy Apple reminded me of. So, this is many moons ago. An ex-girlfriend was there, and we're playing catchphrase. And it's me and a couple of my friends from high school and my ex-girlfriend, and they did not know each other before this. And they're trying to do, because you know catchphrase, right? Like there's something on the on the game. You're trying to give the clues so that people can guess it. And on the screen, it said Seattle. My ex-girlfriend said the Windy City. And my friend said Seattle. And she said yes. And I said, wait a fucking second. So you're both wrong, but in the same way at the same time. That seems illegal.
It's the rainy city.
It's just not the windy city. That's for fucking
Chicago.
That's Chicago.
That's like the whole thing there. There's another one.
They're in the Foggy Apple. They're in London.
So they're in the O2 Arena for SmackDown, and they're dressed like Sherlock Holmes and one of those old-timey...
A Bobby,
whatever the hell. There's paint on the ground, and they think it's the Uggos. Danko just eats it, and he goes, "That's lead paint."
It's so funny.
Which, what? They're going down the hall. They're going down the hall because they keep seeing prints because someone stepped on the paint, and there are shoe prints and hand prints all over the walls with this paint, right? And they're like, "It's the Uggos," even though they were like, "Wait, they haven't worn this in a while." And they get to a room where they hear growling, and there's a handprint on the door, so they know they have to get in there. And there's a combination to get in, and they can't get it right. And Breeze just gets fed up, so he's starting to like kick the door. The door gets open. And it's just the Ascension in there.
The way that Danko says that's lead is one of the greatest reads of all time. And the fact that Breeze tries the combo for the door, then kicks it, and then just opens it normally.
The worst part is, so after they close the door, they're up against the door like people do for some reason, even though the door opens the other way. So they're not actually barricading the door. Breeze just goes, "Getting too old for this shirt."
All right, this all leads
last one.
Yeah, let's go to the last one, which is right before the match we're going to cover.
There is a Vince McMahon mugshot in the background, which I believe is from when Vince got arrested in the whole Roman Reigns feud thing.
You're right.
A Breeze comes in. He's undercover as a janitor. The whole thing here is that Breeze was undercover.
Yeah. He's a master of disguise.
He's a master of disguise. He comes through. He pulls out the Uso shirt, the day one-ish shirt, except not to them. To them, they read it, "Day one is H."
What does that even mean? They also throw Baron Corbin under the bus for no reason. And go,
and Sami Zayn?
Three shirts, all wolves.
Sami Zayn, his underwear matches his whatever the frick they said that hat was. And this, then they go, Breeze starts going crazy, like he starts all freaking out, and like Fidango has to get him like calm down. He goes, "You're the prettiest of princes." And then he goes, they like are like on May 21st or whatever is the big heist, all or the big bust, all this other stuff. And then they cap it off by saying they're gonna win the SmackDown tag titles, and finally our day one will be H.
It will be H. That match was at Backlash 2017. Breezango versus the Usos for the tag team titles. It's so nice to see the Usos when they liked each other. What a time. What a time that was.
When they were down since day one-ish.
That's right. Breeze is mopping the ring. Jimmy and Danko to start flying heads. There's some hip rotations by Danko. In comes Incognito Breeze. We get mop chants. Perry Saturn somewhere sheds a tear.
Mop.
Jimmy tries to splash Breeze in the corner, who slowly moves and then trips Jimmy with the mop. Very funny.
It's freaking great. Breeze uses the mop to prevent Jimmy from hitting him. He just keeps putting it up.
He gives him the face wash at one point, too. Yeah.
Breeze. So Jimmy eventually just like Jay tags in. Breeze gets absolutely dropped by an uppercut punch.
Yeah.
Jay grabs the mop, breaks it in half. Breeze is down. He is literally like chalk outline, just flat out after that punch. Jay goes up to the top rope because he's just going to hit the Uso splash. And Breeze starts rolling away to the other corner. Jay gets down, goes to the other corner to hit a splash. And Breeze just rolls away. And he just keeps doing it. He does it like four or five times. Until finally Jimmy's had enough. He comes up to him. Breeze hits an Enziguri for a near fall. And I lose my mind.
so funny. Danko comes in. Jay clocks both of Breezango. Jimmy back in. We get like a long sunset flip attempt on Danko. And Danko eventually just has some hip rotations and the leg drop. Breeze, who was outside, emerges from under the ring dressed as an old lady, like a Where's the Beef era old lady.
There is a very loud "Let's go, Grandma" chant in the crowd. So he gets into the ring. He Jimmy kicks the cane away and then eats a drop kick. Yep. Jay comes in for the attack, and Breeze lifts the dress up like he's flashing him, and Jay reacts like, oh, and Jay like ducks away and then eats a drop kick to the corner. And then
Bronco Buster Breeze
hits a Bronco Buster. Jay gets up. He hits a shotgun drop kick that looked so vicious.
And then just rips the dress off of Breeze, tosses it into the crowd, but instead of the crowd, it lands on JBL's head.
And there was a replay of it.
They did a slow motion replay of JBL getting hit with the dress. I like 2017. It was a fun time.
It was so good. I love this era of SmackDown. Dango gets a hot tag. Hot tag
to Dango. Yeah, yeah.
Had me screaming. I was screaming out there. I was so in. He hits the corner DDT corner tornado DDT for a near fall, and I lost my mind. The Usos have they're good. This is their Uso penitentiary era. They do like a combo backbreaker into a flying fist for a near fall, and then Breeze hits the Unprettier. And I've seen this match before. I saw this match live. I was watching the pay-per-view.
Yeah, same.
Live when it happened. And Breeze hits the Unprettier, and I know they're not going to win. Like, I know that. And I knew that in the moment, that they weren't going to win.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, that near fall got me.
It was good. It was very good. Breeze tries to send him off the apron to both Usos, but they just catch him and dump him into the stands, which was very fun. Dango with a tope to both Usos. Jimmy knocks Dango off his footing on the top rope. A super kick by Jay, and the Usos retain the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Hell of a super kick, too.
Oh, yeah. This is my recommendation this week.
Oh, yeah, not even remotely close.
It's
for
the
me.
Fashion Files plus this. You gotta go watch it.
Go watch the entire Fashion Files comp. Shout out to whoever put that on YouTube. Yeah, by the way,
real G.
There's like 57 things in there. A lot of it are a good chunk of it is matches that honestly I didn't even bother watching. I skipped through all of that stuff. Just the backstage stuff. They were just functioning on such a high level with those things, man.
Shout out to Larry Had a Little Lamb, who put together the Fashion Police playlist. Don't worry about Breezango though, because they're going to be just fine. We're going to take a break. When we get back, they're going for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Back from the break. At the end of the year, Breeze and Fandango were sent to NXT. According to Big Daddy Dave Meltzer, WWE assigned them to the brand to work as experienced veterans and help them with NXT's ratings, because this is when we had the Wednesday Night War that lasted not very long. At TakeOver 30, Breezango defeated Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch and Legado del Fantasma in a triple threat tag match to become the number one contenders to the NXT titles, and that's where this match takes place. August 26th, 2020, pandemic era wrestling, NXT. It's Breezango versus Imperium for the NXT Tag Team Championships, but these Imperium guys are the same guys with different names.
Yeah, shout out to Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner.
That's right. If you're wondering, Aichner is Giovanni Vinci, and Bartel is Ludwig Kaiser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is before 2.0 and the name changes.
Yeah. Do you prefer the old names or the new names for both of those men?
I think Fabian Aichner sounds better than Giovanni Vinci, but also...
But I think Ludwig Kaiser is better than Bartel. Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't really care. They're both fine. They're just a tag team. You know, they're just Imperium.
I think Ludwig Kaiser has real potential to do things. I do.
My thing with him is I look at him and I'm like, yeah, that guy's never holding a singles title.
I disagree.
I take one look at him and I'm like, I'm good. He's really good. But
future United States champion Ludwig Kaiser, right?
If this company is in the bin, then yeah, sure. But, nah, it's just not happening. But the thing is, we're not in 2017 anymore, you know? We can't just throw that freaking U.S. title onto anybody. It's on Logan Paul right now, man.
Future never openweight champion Ludwig Kaiser.
No, he's going to be the, what's the global champion? Is that the one that Nick Nemeth wants?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it's called, but yeah.
The new IC title, U.S. title one, whatever that's called. He's going to future that. Ludwig Kaiser, or what's his name going to be? Kaiser
Marcel Kaiser Bartel, Sose. His real name.
Kaiser Sose over there.
I don't remember this match. I don't think I was watching NXT religiously during this part of the pandemic. I don't think I was really back into that part yet. I remember I was watching SmackDown. Like, I was following it because I was doing
the AEW coverage for Full Press Conference. I would do the post AEW stuff. So I would just have both of them on just for like vibes. Because I didn't have much else to do. I was like, especially this one, because I knew that they were getting a tag title match. So I remember this vividly. Like, yeah. I was 100% watching this episode. I love that Breezango is dressed in like dark clothes. I just think they look so good in that. Like,
and also they came down to NXT with like a little bit more edge. Like, they weren't just being goofy. Yeah. Like, they were like taking things seriously now.
Yeah, on this day, Imperium just starts closing the ring off on Breeze pretty quickly.
Yeah. In terms of in-ring wrestling, this is the best match this week.
Like, yeah, I would say
actual
so.
Wrestling talent, this is the best match this week, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, they were going up against a really hot tag team, and there's nothing comedic about this whatsoever. Yeah. This is like
if you hate fun, this is the match for you.
Which Imperium does. That is literally their whole thing. They hate fun. And also, Guta's really good. And so Breezango gets a hot, or Breeze gets a hot tag, but he gets like not really. Cause
no, it starts hot for 2 seconds and he's immediately cut off by Bartel. Immediately.
Yeah. He super kicks the hell out of Eichner in the corner, but like Bartel is right there. Bartel hits a butterfly suplex. He goes up to the top for a flying middle rope something, but Breeze ends up hitting a crescent kick for a near fall.
This is really good. This is also when I noticed that clearly Breeze had just done cup therapy. Like, he has the spots along his back where the cups are. I've never
done cup therapy.
No, never done it. Have you?
Me neither. I want to do, it's not cup therapy, but I want to do the hot rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I have a place literally right downstairs that does that. It's a Thai spot.
You got a hot rock guy?
There's a Thai massage place, like, right over there. It's in my complex. And I've been thinking of going down to just get a regular massage. Might just throw on a little extra charge for the hot rocks.
Bring me your hottest rocks, sir.
bring me. What are we thinking? Like 26-year-old Dwayne Johnson.
Jesus,
put that on me.
High kick in the corner by Bartel. He tags Eichner. High kick by Breeze. Breeze tags in Dango again. Dango trying to go like. This is a really good tag match, tag move right here. Breeze with a slingshot. Dango clocks him on the apron. Then Breeze holds him on his knees during the slingshot, and Dango does the top rope drop kick. I was like, this is good.
It's good stuff. Dango goes for a tope. Marcel moves out of the way, but he still ends up landing on Eichner. And then Marcel just freaking smokes him with a European uppercut, which he's always very good at, I will say. Bartel's European uppercuts are great every time.
Eichner then with a German suplex on the floor, and we go to commercial. Back from the commercial, Dango is in a rest hold. He's getting worked over. We get a moonsault by Eichner for a two. It's a decent moonsault.
Yeah. Well, he does the Kenny Omega combo where he does the thing into the flip, the front flip, like whatever. And then he goes up and he hits the moonsault. So clearly it's a war, and Eichner's trying to copy the other company's top guy.
Eichner, Omega, dream match. Right?
So Imperium do a spine buster into a PK, and then Bartel hits a white noise for a near fall, and I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Imperium miss corner combo drop kicks. Like, Bartel was going to do it from inside the ring, and Eichner was going to do it from outside. And then Dango gets attacked to Breeze, who gets absolutely ruined by a lariat from Eichner. So it's not even
absolutely
a hot tag.
Absolutely destroyed.
Breeze ends up hitting a super kicks to everyone involved here. Tag to Dango, who gets up to goes up top, hits a flying leg drop to both men, one leg each. One, two, three.
Breezango win the NXT Tag Team Championships, and I screamed when this happened live.
Unbelievable.
I had no, like, no part of me thought that they were going to win that title.
No. It was a really good pop. It was, people were excited. I mean, it's a pop, I mean, people online, because there was clearly nobody there. It was August of 2020. They would lose the titles after 56 days to Danny Burch and Oni Lorcan. That was who
was
would
that when
them.
They turned heel in that weird little phase where they were with Pete Dunne and they were,
I believe so,
with Pat McAfee, I think.
Yeah, that was a weird time for them. On June 25th, the next year, Fandango, along with Breeze, were released from the WWE, ending Fandango's tenure at 15 years as a WWE employee.
My goat.
We then go to where he is now. Bound for Glory 2022. It is an open challenge by Brian Myers for the Digital Media Championship. And Dirty Dango is here to answer the call.
I don't remember what his song sounds like because I saw it last night, but it was great. This is a great entrance. Electric. He's rocking like the Ken jean like vest. It's cut off here. It's a jean jacket, but it's cut off at the sleeves. So it's just like, he just looks, he's got the blonde hair that's freaking like slicked up. It's just, it's a great look for him.
It's true. It is a good look for him. He looks slimy. It's like the next iteration.
What?
Yeah.
He is.
He looks like how I would imagine most failed ballroom dancers look. Like if you didn't make it, like you wear a lot of, you have like a lot of baby oil and like snakeskin pants.
This is like a guy who really was into Slim Shady back in 2003 when he's the captain of the high school football team. And then his life went downhill.
Could have gone pro
if
my knee didn't do a thing. You know,
his life went downhill from there, but he's still kind of. Now, that guy usually has a beer belly, but he's wearing that same outfit that Breezango's wearing, or that Breeze is wearing here. Or
I think
Dango is wearing here.
The key thing is he has a beer belly if he got married. But if he stayed single and just goes to the gym, he just is still ripped in a weird way.
Yeah.
We're creating a lot of lore, but Dango seems like a pretty nice guy overall.
There's so many hip gyrations.
There's also Tom Phillips and Aiden English on commentary. I haven't watched enough TNA, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, well, Tom's the
guy there.
Commentator
still, yeah.
There.
Yeah. Tom, I like
Hannaford.
Tom. Hannafin.
Yeah, he's really good.
I think WWE misses Tom right now.
They messed up so bad.
They totally butchered it.
Especially now that they can't find anyone for that. And I thought that he was great in that role.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not Michael Cole, but there's a reason why Michael Cole is probably the best to do it. Of like the normal announcers, not like
play-by-play. Yeah. He's the best play-by-play guy ever, which if 12-year-old me heard 32-year-old me saying that, he would kick me in the nuts.
It's just so smoothless. Like, I love JR, but there's just a fluidity and like a realistic feel that Michael Cole brings that JR didn't have.
No.
And I love JR. This is not a knock on JR. I just think that Cole, there's like a longevity of consistency that is just, there's just a thing that Cole has that I don't think JR was able to do or to have, mostly because of the fact that like, I don't want to talk about JR pre-Attitude Era because it really isn't as good as we remember it being. And then post-Attitude Era, it's like not that good. Like, I'm sorry. Did he have the highest? I think he had the best peak, but I think Cole's had the best career.
That is, I think, a good way to phrase it. Like, best peak versus best career. I didn't realize until watching this that Dango, like at this point now, has a Brody Lee tattoo. Did you see that?
I didn't.
On his bicep, it says, yeah, and has Brody's
that's awesome.
Like headshot, essentially. So that was really
cool.
Love that. Yeah. In the match, dropkick by Dango, sunset flip spot for Myers, but Dango resists, does the hip swivel, gets a leg drop on. Dango gets run to the ring post by Myers, as we hear from the French commentary team, something that I've never heard on a TNA broadcast before.
It's Bound for Glory, so that
it is Bound for Glory.
Multiple languages,
yeah, and this is also the pre-show for Bound for Glory. So they run through the card. Bound for Glory 2022 looked pretty good.
I can't say I remember it.
Josh Alexander versus Eddie Edwards. That sounds good.
Is that the main event?
It was the main event. The Kingdom versus the Motor City Machine Guns. That sounds good. Mickey James, Mia Yim. That sounds good. Mm. Jordan Grace, Masha Slamovich. That sounds good. Oh,
shout out to Masha.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And there was, I mean, there's probably a speedball. I think it was the career of the X Division champion at this point.
Yeah, he lost it to Frankie Kazarian.
Oh, yeah, that was the AEW loanee.
Yeah.
And then he just left AEW.
See ya. Good show. Good for TNA. They've been doing it.
They've been doing it so well.
The Detroit Lions.
They're back. A lot of headlocks from Brian Myers. He's very basic. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that?
I do.
You're just basic.
You're just basic.
It's a very weird way of categorizing such a loving relationship.
Dango with a crossbody to ringside over the top rope. Dango with some strikes in the ring, Russian leg sweep. Falcon Arrow by Dango for a two. I was like, okay. Myers then
big insecurity.
Insecurity hits an implant DDT, but Dango kicks out. Yeah, it was an execution.
It's Papa Edge's move.
Papa Edge. Speaking of Papa Edge, did you watch Percy Jackson yet?
I haven't. Is it all out yet?
It's all out.
Okay, yeah. No, I'll get on that then. Papa Edge looks good.
Papa Edge looks good in it.
Aries?
He is Aries.
Yeah, okay. I've read the books.
Flex.
I know. What's up?
Everyone makes fun of this man. He reads.
he's not illiterate. Dango blocks a spear, hits a tornado DDT for a near fall. He goes up top. He's not able to hit the flying leg drop. He lands on his feet because he sees Brian Myers moved out of the way. He turns around. Myers hits a spear, follows it up with a massive lariat. 1, 2, 3. Brian Myers retains.
The name of his lariat is the roster cut. Brian Myers, the Meta King. And that's where we leave Dango. He's still in TNA. He's still doing stuff there. He turned heel in a storyline with Santino Marella. I remember that. Like
he's just always around the digital media.
Yeah, he's always around the digital media title. And I don't think he's won it yet.
I've seen he lost it or lost in title matches a bunch of times. There was like three different occasions where he wrestled three different people for the belt and lost.
No, he hasn't won it yet at time of recording. What but did you could. Think going back and watching the evolution of Fandango?
I love it, man. These are like Johnny Curtis, Fandango, Dirty Dango. This is like just like a kind of like wrestler you need in the product. Like,
agreed.
Not everything has to be like taken seriously. Like part of what we loved about the Attitude Era were the comedic things. Part of what we love about the Ruthless Aggression Era were the comedic things. Hell, the Bloodline storyline that everyone has like up. I mean, obviously, in the last like better part of a year, it's fallen off a cliff. But part of what we loved about that story was the Sami Zayn bit of it, and that was freaking comedy. Like
that was, you know, just like comedy.
You need to have these entertainment level like characters because wrestling in and of itself. If you just make it a sports type thing where it's just basically everyone is cut and dry, you can be a character, but you can't be funny. You got to take it seriously and all that stuff. We're not going to have wrestling. Like, that's not wrestling. That's just boring. Like, we need this entertainment stuff thrown in there because that's what pro wrestling is.
Yeah.
And I think that Johnny Curtis, what's his last name? Hussey, is like the encapsulation of things like that. Like it's him, it's R-Truth, it's Goldust. Like these characters are very necessary in the product, and I think that for the better part of a decade he was able to do just that, and he provided a lot. I mean, we talk so fondly about that 2017 period of SmackDown. Like a lot of that was carried by Heath Slater and the Fashion Police. Like,
yeah,
a lot of that stuff was during that time period, and it was,
you know, some, you know, of the better parts of the show. Categorize him as the way that I describe it is there's a certain type of wrestler where when you talk with them with wrestling fans, they just go, I fucking love that guy. Exactly. And like Dango is exactly that guy. We're just like, I fucking love that guy. It's and you're like right. The R-Truth, the Goldust, the guys who do comedy well, like they, the Santinos, like they fall in that realm.
It's like those, like you know, those slot receivers that only really last like 5-6 years, maybe. But they're, you know, they're on a bunch of different teams. But you just kind of like that guy, you know,
just like the cut of their jib,
or like that running back that runs really hard, but is like the second or third running, like a Gus Edwards on the Ravens.
Yeah,
I love Gus Edwards, the Gus Bus. Love that guy,
Fandango, the Gus Bus of wrestling. Before we talk about who we're going to cover next week, let's do some of the housekeeping stuff. Follow us on social media at Crossbody of Work, on Instagram, on the Twitter. Join the 3,500 people who follow us on Instagram now because we have very funny reels. You should go and watch all the reels. The other place to get the reels is on YouTube. Subscribe at Crossbody of Work. You can get all of our content. All of our podcasts are there. But also, we throw up throwback episodes as well as original content. Last week, we just did Take a Card, Make a Card involving Royal Rumble winners trying to make the best card out of those. We have other series on there. Just go and watch it all and hit subscribe. For the links to all the matches this week, fullpresswrestling.com, or if you're on YouTube, in the description. The recommendation this week is definitely the Fashion Files plus the Usos Breezango match. It's so fucking funny.
Good.
Fullpressshop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Javier's got the Fresh Prince tee on right now. Of course, you see all the new branding. We're working to get some new stuff in the shop with the new logo as well. Next week, I don't think Javier knows who I picked.
I have no idea.
What a wonderful time for you. You talked at the beginning about how Johnny Curtis Fandango is an excellent version of the Himbo. We are going even back further in wrestling history to get a version of a Himbo. The male model Rick Martel is next week.
Covering the model.
Back to back beautiful people. We're covering
an underrated Fandango worker.
And then Martel. Another one of the guys where I had to double check and be like, I think we covered him. We have never covered Rick Martel on the podcast.
I could have told you now.
Yeah. So I'm excited to dive into the career of the model, talk about how he was like just a scrappy baby face for a while and then became the worst.
Are we just going to be like, after that, are we doing the body Donnas?
No, it's going to be Val Venus. No. We're going to go with all the different type of just kind of slimy boys.
I love it.
Welcome to the Slimy Boys podcast. All right. We did the housekeeping. We talked about who we have next week. So the important thing is everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, honestly, just to build off of the theme of this podcast with Fandango.
The Slimy Boys?
My advice this week is everyone just go have a laugh, man. Just go have a laugh. Go watch a funny movie that you know is funny, especially if it's a movie that you know is funny to you. Go watch it. If there's one out there that you just want to watch, go watch that. For all those people, all the people listening to this right now who have the ability to watch it, American Fiction, it's not necessarily a comedy, but it's got its funny moments. Go watch that. Good movie. Go support it. You know, like if there's a comedy special out there that you haven't seen that you're thinking of putting it on, it's a comedian you want to go watch or you've heard good things about it, turn it on. Just have a laugh. It's very important for us to just have those good feel moments where we just let it all out on a laugh.
Javier's here saying, bring the vibes. Bring the vibes.
Let out a belly laugh. Don't worry about the volume of it. Don't worry about the way it sounds. Just be in the moment. Feel the freaking serotonin relief.
Unless you have a really weird laugh. If you have a weird laugh, you should keep that shit in check.
Yeah, don't do that in the movie theater. You know, maybe like if you're watching it, if you're watching like on Netflix or something in your home, like who cares?
Who cares? Except
sound
your family.
Like a donkey for all I care.
Your family will make fun of you, but that's what families do. All right.
They know what the laugh sounds like, so it doesn't matter.
We're back next week, of course. We will talk to you then about Rick Martel. See you next week.
Bye, Uggos.